Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, and you've got OneRadioNetwork.com. It's the 23rd of June, and it's going to only be about 95 today. So it's a cool, we have a cool wave happening. We mentioned before, but we're happy to announce we are soon going to be streaming our show on naturalnews.com. And being involved with the health ranger, Mike Adams, who's a really neat guy. And this is going to take our show to the much greater audience. So we're very excited about that. And we'll be keeping you updated. And it'll just give us an opportunity to get in more trouble than we do right now, which is always great. Speaking of that, Open Phone Friday, where we always get into trouble tomorrow, Andrew Goss on Saturday. Then back next week, Dr. Robert Rao, who's a holistic physician in Switzerland. Next week, Daniel Vitalis. Bruce Fife is going to be here next week. He's the coconut guy. You know Bruce Fife? Yeah. He's a cool guy. And Peter Ragnar's sweetheart, Katrina Mayer, next week. So we've got some cool people coming up. Speaking of cool, a gentleman who we always enjoy talking to, because he's a ball of fire, and he just told me that only sleeps about 3 hours a night, and so he's my hero already. Agnes van der Planets, We Want to Live. He's a primal diet guy, a health advocate, a natural scientist, a real scientist. He understands the body, and he's also a real advocate for health freedom, which I think we'll talk a bit about next hour, because I've got some ideas about that I want to share with you, Agnes, and also the E. coli thing. Maybe we'll get some ideas, but right now we'll say good morning to Mr. Van der Planets. How are you?
Well, I'm great. How about you?
Well, I'm terrific. You sound. I asked you if you get up early. Generally, it's 7 o'clock where you are. You say, oh, well, I get up about 3.
Yes, I usually go to sleep about 11 o'clock and get up about 3. So I sleep 3 to 4 hours.
Wow. How long have you been doing that?
Oh, probably 4 years now, 5 years.
So what about this thing that we're always told we need 8 hours of sleep, Agnes?
Well, if you're unhealthy, you definitely need a lot of sleep. 90% of healing happens in the sleep state. But I've been on a raw diet over 40 years, since almost 40 years, February of 72.
Uh-huh.
I'm coming up on my 40th anniversary on raw.
40 years.
Yeah. However, I didn't start eating raw meat on a daily basis until December of 82. And that was the big thrust of health, beginning to eat raw meat daily, twice daily.
Uh-huh.
Gave me the strength. And as I've been on it, and then I've been able to reduce, you know, the healthier I get, the less sleep I need.
What do you think it's, do you think that it's easier for the body to digest foods that are raw?
Well, completely. I have people who have Crohn's and all kinds of inflammatory bowel disease. And once they get on to eating the raw meats and the raw dairy, all of a sudden all of that distress just goes away. For some people, it isn't overnight. For instance, one time I had the wife of a full professor at USC, and she had been to the regular allopathic doctors for 6 years, and she was wasting away in skin and bones. And because they look at measurements, they really know nothing. You know, the medical profession, they base all of those figures on the pharmaceutical industry's need for profit. So all those tests are geared to say, oh, you need medication, take this, instead of finding out what really goes on is trouble with the body. So I realized that she had a Crohn's condition, and I put her on nothing but raw eggs and honey and butter for almost 2 years. And within about, I guess it was 2.5 months, she had gained about 5 pounds, and she was skin and bones. And her husband, he was, you know, just pacifying her, coming to the console with me, and he thought I was a quack. And he gave me the evil eye anytime she wasn't looking, and I mean the evil eye, threatening.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm used to that, so, because it is a radical diet, and everybody's conditioned to think that raw meat creates parasites, although there's not one study on it whatsoever, on empirical study. It's all nonsense, theoretical. And then after she gained the weight in just 2.5 months, guess who came for a consult?
Her husband.
He did. So, and they're both on it, and that was 11 years ago.
Well, this might be an interesting thing for us to follow and learn something. Crohn's, is that an infection? Let's see, do I remember? Is that a small intestine kind of? What's going on with Crohn's disease?
Well, it can be anywhere in the intestines, large or small.
Uh-huh.
In Crohn's, the way I have observed it, you know, everybody has their interpretation of what Crohn's is, and of course the medical profession has a perspective on the body and diseases that has nothing to do with reality. So they will never cure anything, and they're meaningfully not curing anything because there's no profit in cure. And Crohn's, in my study, is the body's inability to form mucus on the intestinal wall. So the acids from your own digestive tract will eat away at the intestinal wall, and it becomes thinner and thinner. When you're in third and fourth stage, you can have leaky gut, which means if you eat too much at one time or eat something that causes a tear in the intestinal tract, then undigested food will leak into the gut.
Oh, that's what's called leaky gut.
Correct. Mm. And then then your body has to digest that undigested food somewhere, so it sends it to the joints.
Oh.
And then the joints create acids that break down that food. So your joints become a digestive tract. So usually the food will go to the knees or the hip joints first. Sometimes it'll go to the shoulders or elbows, but it depends upon the individual.
So this mucus, Agnes, would want to be in the small and large intestines.
If you don't have a coating of a good layer of mucus there, then of course your body will just digest its own intestinal tract.
And why would someone not have this mucus in the case of Crohn's?
Poor diet.
Just cooked food or too many carbs and all that stuff. Standard American diet?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So then when you gave this gal this idea, this lady, excuse me, to eat the raw meats and dairy, and why does that introduce mucus into the intestines?
Well, mucus is formed predominantly by a combination of fats and proteins.
Huh.
And eggs are a good way to form it, but not thickly. But I needed her to digest something that was very easily digestible. And eggs digest in about 27 minutes because it's all liquid, so your body doesn't have to generate acids. You don't even need hydrochloric acid to digest eggs because it's already liquid. 90% of our digestion, ideally, is bacterial. So the bacteria consumes the food. Its waste products is our diet, our food. Now, a lot of people are very squeamish, and the medical profession loves squeamishness because people who are squeamish are in fear. And that's how they operate. But if you understand that everything we eat, everything we absorb and utilize, is the feces, urine, and sweat of the bacteria, that's how we live. We have 150 bacterial genes to every one human gene, especially in the digestive tract. So we aren't even 1% human. We are bacterial. But the medical profession bases all of their rhetoric on the fact that the ill fact or the misfact that bacteria causes disease, and it does not. Yeah. Industrial pollution causes disease, including cooking.
Now, you had a stint then way back when where your vagus nerve was damaged and you weren't producing any hydrochloric acid. Is that correct?
Well, that is still true. When I had cancer of the stomach, they performed a vagotomy on me, which means they severed all the vagus nerves to my stomach so I would never again secrete hydrochloric acid. That was never reconnected. Don't know that it ever could be reconnected. So I do not produce hydrochloric acid in my stomach.
But we're told that we need this hydrochloric acid to chew up or eat up the protein, and this is what you live on.
Well, not necessarily. That, again, is a falsehood.
Yeah.
By the medical profession. The digestive acids, at best, are only about 10%, maybe in some people up to 20% of digestion. And those acids break down larger particles of food into liquid-like substances so that the bacteria can infiltrate and eat everything.
I see.
Otherwise, if you eat like a dog or a cat, swallow huge chunks of food, you will not digest it very well.
That's why a dog might have a very acid system, because, as you know, dogs will just gulp it down, not even a chew.
So will cats.
Yeah.
And they have 15 times the hydrochloric acid we do in the stomach. However, we secrete hydrochloric acid throughout the small intestine.
Even without, do you then, without your vagus nerve?
Well, yes, I secrete it throughout my intestinal tract, but not in my stomach.
Not in the stomach.
So I don't have that. So I make sure that all of my meat and all of my food is in, like ground.
Really chewed up well.
Yes.
So would you ever recommend to one of your patients to take hydrochloric acid?
No, because hydrochloric acid, when it's a supplement, is not a complete hydrochloric acid. And it can prevent certain bacteria from digesting the food and it assimilating properly. So you may have poorly digested proteins.
Oh, that's not
good. As an effect of that.
Yeah. Well, I've been taking some hydrochloric acid for a long time. I guess I should stop.
Well, all you need to do is take some beet juice or eat some raw corn on the cob, and that provides the nutrients, the precursors for hydrochloric acid.
Corn on the cob?
Yeah, and the beet juice.
Yeah. Oh, together?
No.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, either one.
Really? Really? Corn on the cob?
Yep.
Because of the sugar in there?
Raw corn on the cob.
Oh, raw corn on the
cob.
Yeah,
it has to be raw corn on the cob.
Can you find any Can you find any non-GMO corn on the cob these days? Is it available?
You have to look hard.
It's like, but beet juice, so you would just take a juice and beat it up or juice it up or in a Vitamix, and that helps the hydrochloric acid form.
Correct. Juicing is better. Of course, we don't digest cellulose, but 2% of it, and it'll just turn the digestive tract alkaline with vegetation. So if that happens, then you won't digest your dairy or meat products.
But then again, you're saying, though, that 80 to 90% of the food is digested by all the bacteria with the fermented foods, probiotics, all this stuff, and then the hydrochloric acid is only a small percentage. Is this evolutionary-wise where we would just take a big bite out of a lion or something?
Well, I don't know. It's evolution is a tricky thing.
Sure.
Because
most of us haven't evolved yet, that's why.
I don't know, how much of that I believe of evolution in the way it is. I've seen, in laboratory experiments, flies instantly manifesting on rock and stuff like that, so without any egg present or around. So I don't know that we really evolved. And when they point to the Cro-Magnon and the Neanderthal-type skulls,
yeah,
we have people with, skulls like that all over the world, down in Mexico, South America, Africa. So this whole evolution thing is really questionable to me.
You think they just make it up as they go? Well, that was every now and then I hear someone, when they talk about the raw meats, they'll argue, well, I mean, we didn't eat raw meat when we were in the jungles and stuff.
Well,
and,
Lucy know. Did. The remains of Lucy, you know, one of the oldest skeletons that we found, and she was pretty intact.
Mm-hmm.
It showed her pancreas was 2.5 times smaller than ours, so she was not a carb eater. She was a raw meat eater.
Oh, Lucy, I thought they were vegetarians, these guys.
No.
Lucy, yeah. Lucy's one of these, way back. Yeah.
Yes, 5 million years.
Yeah. What about the arguments that we hear very often? Well, we just didn't have that much meat, and we just had it on special occasions, and every day special for Ogenes Vonderplanets.
Well, in my experience, I had cancer of the blood, bone, stomach, and lymph, plus diabetes, psoriasis, and giant pectoris and bursitis.
Man, you were a mess.
Yes, and I was. I was a very sickly child. I couldn't play sports. You know, I learned to sew and cook, you know, with my mother rather than being able to be with the guys and doing, you know, really macho things. I was just that sickly. And to turn that around, you know, I began drinking raw milk and raw carrot juice from a hospice volunteer who encouraged me to do it. And from there, I started getting well. I started introducing more and more raw foods. And then I went into a vegan state about 4 years into it and getting better. And then within 3 years, I had deteriorated back into blood and bone cancer again.
Wow.
So I realized that vegan, you know, wasn't, certainly wasn't for me. And in all of my experience, I've known about 2,300 vegetarians or vegans, vegans and vegetarians. I'll lump them into one. And only 8 of them did well into their latter lives. So it's not, you know, not many people can do it. And those that did it, 7 of them were men and 1 was a female. And they were all athletic. They had very excessive hormones all the time. And for some reason, that seemed to be the only absolute criteria between those 8 and the 2,300.
So the active hormones and the overactive glands, you're suggesting keep the body going if they're not getting the nutrition that they get.
Correct. I mean, the woman was definitely an athlete, and then she broke down in her late 30s and her spine started to deteriorate. 2 of the men in their 70s also got spinal deterioration, and then one man in his 80s, early 80s, got spinal deterioration. And guess whose diet they went on to recover?
The primal. Yeah.
Yes, the primal, with the raw meats and raw dairy, and they recovered fairly quickly. The woman never went back to, you know, her vegan diet.
We're with Ogenes Vonderplanets. His website is wewanttolive.com. This is oneradionetwork.com. We broadcast live every morning between 9 and 11 o'clock Central Time, and all of the podcasts, over 1,300, are available at no cost on oneradionetwork.com, a wide variety of health, wealth, and well-being. If you'd like to be on the show and speak with Ogenes, it is 888-663-6386, 888-663-6386. We'll put you on hold, pick it up live, and also emails patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I know that when you travel around the country a lot and you'll do a workshop on Saturday and then visit with patients after that for a few days in your particular city. And you, I understand, if I remember from past shows, Ogenes, you do, you look at their eyes and you really do a whole body kind of scan by, tell us about the work that you do. And then I want to ask you about some of the things that you experience. How do you tell what's going on with a person?
Well, I look at the irises.
Iris.
Yeah, a form of iridology.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say iridology, tomato, mm-hmm. tomato.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't accept anything that people just feed me. I see too often, in fact, almost every case, somebody goes to college, they get drummed with a lot of misinformation and completely wrong information, and they are spit out of the universities with a degree, and then all of a sudden they're telling people what to do, and they don't even know, have any wisdom whatsoever about it, and especially with medical doctors. And it's a shame because they don't really know anything. And when they get their internship, it's an emergency ward, so everything is panic. And so they always go to the worst prognosis. So it's a sad thing. I use iridology because it's non-invasive. And I began studying it, I guess it was about October 69.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't feel like I had any real control over it or control with it until it was about 92.
Wow.
So I'm not one of those saying I have to see the evidence, empirical evidence. So the first time, even though I had studied it for many years, the first time that I acknowledged that there was something valid about it, I was with my girlfriend and we were, kissing, and I looked in her eyes and there's all this blood spot around where the uterus is supposed to have appeared.
Hmm.
So I said, are you bleeding? And she said, yeah, I'm spotting. And I said, it isn't your period, though. And she said, no, it isn't. And I said, well, it looks like you've got a tear. If iridology is correct, you've got a tear in your uterus. And she said, yeah, I have an IUD there, and I can't find the string. I thought, uh-oh. So, this is the only time I would take anybody to a hospital, is a condition where something mechanical is damaging the system. So I took her to the hospital, Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles, and the IUD had punctured the uterine wall and was in the gut. So they wanted to go in there and they said, well, we may need to cut out all the uterus and ovary. I said, you do that and I'll cut your life off.
Hmm.
I said, you can always go in there later if there's an infection and it doesn't improve, but you don't take anything out whatsoever. You just go in there, you find the IUD, you remove it. You sew her up if necessary, but if no sutures are necessary, don't, and just leave her alone. And if something progresses to the worst, we can always, get your help later. Don't have to do any kind of emergency radical anything. I've had that done to me enough. So he did it. He just took out the IUD and put one suture in her, and that was it.
Hmm.
So when I realized that, I said, okay, there is really something profound about iridology. And that was 1979.
I see. So then when you look at people in your travels, and you travel all over the world, and you begin to diagnose them, and you say, come...
Well, I'm not a licensed MD.
Right.
I'm a nutritionist, PhD
okay.
in nutrition.
So I guess diagnosis is not a good word.
Oh.
Okay, so...
My analysis.
Your analysis. What things in general, Agnes, do you find with people who are on vegetarian or vegan diets? Do you see some deficiencies there that are more universal in nature?
Well, almost all of them have severe... psychological problems, emotional problems, maybe I should say more emotional problems. They don't have a grip on it as well as other people. And it is theorized that it's a lack of B vitamins and, of course, proteins. And I try to do the complete protein thing with the correct beans and sprouted beans and germinated grains and nuts and all of that. And it didn't work. I was eating up to 7 pounds of protein a day and losing about less than a quarter of a, well, about an ounce a day. I was doing it. So I went from 155 pounds down to 98 pounds.
Doing the vegetarian food combining protein,
yes.
Complete protein thing.
Yes.
Frances Moore LaPay, remember her?
No, I don't.
Yeah, she wrote, she was a whole complete protein person back in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, yes, now I remember her.
Diet for a Small Planet?
That was a while back.
Yeah, well, we're old kids. Well, now we're young guys with old bodies. So then you're saying it's just more difficult in your experience for people to get all of these different amino acid stuff with a vegetarian diet. And so,
well, literally, with our anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry, we're not suited for that.
Huh.
We have mostly cutting teeth, and we have four canines. Of course, that is for tearing meats, not tearing fruits or vegetables. And a lot of vegetarians are misinformed about our anatomy, biochemistry, and physiology. They think that we have the teeth of an herbivore who eats vegetation, but we don't. They have every one of their teeth are molars. We have molars in the back of the mouth to crush meat before we swallow it, but we don't have to grind vegetation. We have all of our bacteria, which starts in the mouth, and we have more than cats and dogs in the mouth, so don't bite anybody.
I'm trying to cut down on that. I went to the dentist the other day and got my teeth cleaned, and they do these little swabs and put it under the microscope,
uh-huh.
And they show all these little bacteria in your mouth, and they're swimming around, spirochetes, and they said, well, you know, these aren't the best ever, but you don't have any amoebas, but then I'm thinking, well, aren't these little guys running around my whole body? I mean, can you ever kill them all?
Well, you have to understand that the pharmaceutical industry runs the medical industry. And they make most of their money off of terrorism. So they need a bad guy. So they call the bacteria in the mouth the bad guy. But the bacteria never causes dental decay or any kind of problem. It is there to enter the food right away. And our bacteria is putrefactive. Now, that sounds like a bad word. When it's applied to food, putrefaction means the spoiling, bad decay of the food. However, that doesn't happen except with cooked food, putrefaction of that nature. But when we talk of putrefactive bacteria, we're talking about a bacteria that digests animal cells, dairy, meats, eggs, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not vegetarian, not herbivore or herbivorous dietary food, you know, leaf stalks and roots.
Yeah.
That is not our diet. Plus, when we get to the stomach, our hydrochloric acid, if you put that on vegetation, it doesn't break it down. What it does break down, if you take that hydrochloric acid, you put it on meat, eggs, or milk, or dairy, or raw dairy products, it will break them down.
Hmm.
It dissolves them. And we have that all throughout the large and small intestines. All the bacteria is putrefactive. However, our body can alter itself and try to become a digester of vegetation, but it only amounts to 2 to 5%. That's not enough to feed and maintain a healthy body. And then the herbivore has 2.5 times more digestive tract than we do. They have 60,000 times the digestive enzymes to break down the cellulose molecule. So our food passes through in 24 hours. For them, it's 48 hours. They have 2 to 4 stomachs. They re-chew and regurgitate and swallow and regurgitate and re-chew and swallow up to 7 times to break down that cellulose. We just don't do that.
Hmm. So what about the argument that the vegetarians make, well, our large intestines are too long to be carnivores like tigers and dogs? It's real short, only a few feet, but we have like, what, 12 feet of?
We have about that. The dog and a cat's entire digestive tract is about one third the length of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And the food goes through their system in 10 hours. For us, it's 24. However, we have the same amount of hydrochloric acid. It's just not concentrated in the stomach. They have to have it concentrated in the stomach because they don't chew their meats into smaller portions.
Mm.
Plus, they eat bones. And they need an intense amount of hydrochloric acid to do that. That's why it's greater in the stomach. However, we do, throughout the small intestine, secrete this hydrochloric acid when necessary.
What would be something that's going on in the human body where the hydrochloric acid is not produced in the large and small intestines?
Then you better make sure your food's pateed and liquid.
And why would that happen to a person, Ajahn, so where they have not enough hydrochloric acid in the intestines?
Well, they're not getting a proper diet. Also, usually that would have to be to the extent of not just cooking foods, but all of the additives in foods and the vaccines that create all damage. Now, about 70% of all current diseases are caused by vaccines.
70%?
Poisons and vaccines.
Wow. All right, stay right there. Ajahn is Vonderplanets. We Want to Live and the Recipe for Living Without Disease are a couple of books. WeWantToLive.com. And if you're on hold, we'll get to your calls. We have emails coming in. We have emails before the show. So we're going to have fun this morning. We have lots to do. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We broadcast live every morning between 9 and 11 o'clock Central Time. I'm with Al Carter, the world's foremost authority on rebound exercise. Al, you patented it, designed the Rebound Air. How can you possibly give a lifetime warranty on a piece of equipment?
Because we designed it to be used by the United States Air Force and showed us how we could make sure that the equipment would last a very, very long time.
So if a spring breaks or if a mat would rip or something with a leg, you replace it?
Yes, call us up and we'll replace it right away.
Lifetime.
Lifetime.
Order yourself a rebounder right now. Front page, look at the display for the rebounders on OneRadioNetwork.com. Go through PayPal, very secure, don't have to be a PayPal member. Any credit card, ship it via UPS in 3 days or so. It's all yours, right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.
Could saving 15% of your money in gold coins really save you money on your car insurance? No. But it sure will give you a lot of peace of mind in uncertain times. Protecting your wealth is a great idea in an economy where money is being inflated by the rapid expansion of the money supply by central banks all over the world. Learn to protect your wealth. We can be reached directly to answer your questions at 1-800-878-2646 or visit us on the web at usgoldcoins.com.
And silver is down a whole buck today at $25.37 and gold at $1,522 an ounce. Consider, if you will, to get yourself one of these relaxed far infrared saunas. These are portable, but very, very well constructed, and you'll be quite surprised. Several of you have emailed over the last few months and questioning, how can I pay $900 for something that's portable? And I know it's a little bit of a stretch to get your head around, but you can see the pictures and the rest of it on OneRadioNetwork.com. But they're very well constructed. And the machinery inside, it sets on the floor, and they have two different components that's putting out these ultraviolet lights and a far infrared, not ultraviolet, but a far infrared, and really work well. You'll sweat like the old, yeah, really cool. And you begin sweating probably 10 minutes or so, just full on. And you can set the controls, and they have two different controls if you want to have more heat or less heat. These are relaxed far infrared saunas, and you'll have yours for a total delivered price for $935 if you use the promo code ONERADIO. That's ONERADIO, ONERADIO, into the promo code right on the front page of One Radio Network, and we'll take care of you with a relaxed far infrared sauna.
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network. Talk to Patrick now, 888-663-6386, or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
Okay, it's about 24 minutes before the hour. Sing it, baby. Yeah, it's one of my favorite ones. Open Phone Friday tomorrow. And I think we're gonna call up to Minot, North Dakota tomorrow and see what's going on there. We did a show yesterday on the Missouri River and all the dams, and they're evacuating about 15,000 people up in North Dakota. You don't live in North Dakota, do you, Hodgins?
No, I live in Malibu, California.
Oh, well, then you don't have to evacuate.
And no, not yet.
Man, the weather's crazy, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. It's really, really nuts. Where are you off to next?
I go to Nevada tomorrow night.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you'll do a whole weekend there?
Well, actually, I'm taking gun training.
You're taking gun training?
Yes, on site. Yeah, I've been attacked several times because of what I do. So I need to arm myself.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
So I'm getting a concealed carry weapon permit.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I have to go through training for that. And I'd only have to go through one-day training, but I want to be... You know, I don't want to be a deadly force out there, but I want to stop somebody.
Yeah.
If they're attacking me, so I'm taking a 7-day course.
Oh, 7-day course?
Yes.
I want to be, come the revolution, I'm glad you're going to be on my side. Let's take this phone call. Hi, what's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
This is Francis from Edmonton.
Hi, Francis. Go ahead, you're on the air with Hodgins Vonderplanitz.
Hi, Francis.
Hi, Hodgins. Hi. I'm hoping you can provide a piece of my puzzle here for me this morning, maybe. Like, I'm in my early 60s, and I've been suffering from arthritis all my life. The official diagnosis is anglionosis spondylitis.
Yes.
Which has left me a bit crippled, right?
Yes.
I eat very good food. Organic as much as possible. I eat meat only from animals that I personally met.
Uh-huh.
And my condition, I'm treating it strictly right now with herbs. I was on Celebrex.
Uh-huh.
So, but I've been off Celebrex since last October, and so far so good. But the pain is really starting to come back again. And I'm just wondering if you can offer me anything with my diet that might help.
Did you hear what I said about Crohn's earlier?
Yes, I did. I had Crohn's disease.
85% of Crohn's comes from, 85% of arthritis comes from Crohn's.
Because but I had arthritis before I got the Crohn's.
Well, the Crohn's maybe you think you did.
Pardon
you were
me?
Diagnosed with Crohn's.
Yes, I
after
was.
The fact. However, your leaky gut may have gone on for far longer. It could have been when you were born. You didn't produce mucus properly from your intestines, so food was going to your joints at a very, very early age.
Ah.
So what that does is starts breaking down the joints. Now, those bacteria in there that are said, oh, these are bad arthritic bacteria, rheumatoid arthritis-type bacteria, those bacteria are there to digest that food.
Right.
Of course, they're going to digest the cartilage along with it,
little by little.
But the body sends it to that cartilage because that cartilage is pretty resilient. Not as resilient as our stomach lining. I mean, our stomach lining produces hydrochloric acid and can dissolve bone and hair, but it doesn't dissolve the stomach lining itself. So that's the most resilient tissue in the body. The second most resilient tissue is the cartilage.
Okay.
That's why the body sends the food there. That's probably why, you know, 85% for sure, that is why you got arthritis and rheumatism. Now, I have a woman in Chicago who came to me 3 years ago in a wheelchair, left knee about three times its normal size. She had a hardball calcification. They always call it calcification, but it's mineralization because it's mineral, many minerals, not just calcium. Hardball formation at her left elbow, and her fingers and hands, everything was pretty contorted. So I put her on a diet 3 years ago, unable to handle anything but maybe a fork or a spoon to get it to her mouth slowly and not steadily. now, I just saw her 2 weeks ago, and she's walking 7 minutes. She went back to playing cards with her friends, you know, after 6 years of not playing cards. And so she's back in shape.
And this was on the primal diet?
Correct.
I'll be done.
Yeah. Now, there's another factor involved here. The body has to be heated. It needs to heat about 105 to 108 degrees in water.
Right, okay.
And that causes the body to melt acids, you know, fats, trans fatty acids, which are hydrogenated vegetable oils, plastic fats.
Yes.
That harden in the system. The body cannot make them liquid at the body's temperature, even 101 degrees.
I see.
Will not melt those to move them out of the system.
Yes.
And when the lymphatic system is endowed with the ability to clean everything in the body, however, the waxy plastic fats, it cannot, because we don't get the body hot enough.
Yeah.
So I have her, and I emphasize in the last year, because she was able to stand last year but not walk.
Yes.
Without a walker. Now she walks 7 minutes without a walker because I insisted her husband, you know, he's a pretty big, strong guy. You know, he's in his 60s like she is.
Right.
And, you know, I said, you've got to get her in the bath, even if you have to get an A-frame.
I see.
Hot tub. You put her in the hot tub, which is a steady temperature, which is better.
Right. Okay.
So I said, you know, five, you know, 3 days a week, 90 minutes.
Yes.
And,
okay.
You know, rest of the time, 40, 45 minutes a day.
Right.
And do this every day. So they did, and the results were, you know, she has a life again.
My God.
Right.
So this hot water.
All of her card-playing friends told her 3 years ago when she went on this diet, oh, you're going to get brain flukes, you're going to die, this thing's going to kill you. Well, they've certainly changed their minds about it now.
And the hot water in the baths up to what temperature did you say?
108. I mean, I know people that have gone 110 degrees.
And this really just melts this stuff.
Yes, it does.
I'll be done.
It takes time. It's like, consider a cold stick of butter in a 2-cup jelly jar, glass jelly jar.
Right.
You've got a cold stick of butter. We have an air conditioning system, of course, as part of our system, so I count that as like a cold stick of butter. And you've got, let's say, 108 degrees on the outside of that that glass. You've got to make the airspace become warm between the glass and the butter. That takes about 40 minutes before the butter will be warm enough to even start barely melting. That's why I say if you have a severely congested lymphatic system, you need to stay in 90 minutes at a time. Now, a lot of people have a difficulty staying in because the brain hates to get hot. So they can just take one of those cold packs and put it on top of their head with the towel between their head and that cold pack and leave it on there until the brain says, oh, wait a minute, I want to stay in this hot water. And then there's no trouble in staying in that long. But the body loves the warmth. The brain does not.
Yeah, because my blood work, I don't have any rheumatoid factor in my blood.
Uh-huh.
But yet I've got fused joints, right?
Yeah, well, the fused joints come from eating away the cartilage. And then
yeah, that's right.
Cartilage trying to mend, and they mend into each other.
Yeah, because I once, not too long ago, I went to some hot springs here in the Rocky Mountains.
Uh-huh.
And I felt after I spent a considerable time in the spring, like I felt I could almost dance afterwards.
How we done?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is so important to healing quickly. Now, the woman who I was just talking about could have spent 12, 13 years just on the diet, reversing that condition. But she did it in, you know, 3 years because she was taking the baths, especially in the last year. And she removed that hardball size of mineralization on her left elbow in 1 year. By taking those baths.
Really? So do you believe that hot, like if I can get into a hot tub, which is almost impossible.
Oh, you mean just
think
physically?
That might help.
It would tremendously. If you can get, like, hospitals have an A-frame to lift people.
Yes.
You can. They have ones that are mobile where you just, you know, hit a button.
Okay.
Get one of those to take you in and out of the bathtub. You're set.
Okay. And do you think, is it possible that I may be able to unlock my I've got a, like, my left hip is completely locked and my right one's probably on its way. Right?
My goodness.
Yes, I've seen it happen several times.
Oh, nice.
In conjunction with the diet and the hot baths. Without the nutrients, your body isn't going to be able to rebuild that cartilage.
Right. Well, as I said, I eat very good food. I don't eat any processed foods whatsoever.
So. Yeah. Okay, Francis.
Well, I'm talking about any cooked food.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He wants you to eat more raw food and try that.
Okay, I'll try that.
All right, Francis, thanks for the call. Good job.
Patrick, I wanted to say, finish that one. You asked about, you know, the colon.
Yeah.
Why ours is so much longer.
Yeah.
Well, we have big garbage brains. Obviously, we're not very smart because we kill everybody and everything on the planet with, you know, not the intention of recycling, but gaining money that we can't take with us anyway.
Yeah, it's not too bright, is it?
No. But anyway, the bacteria in the colon break down the proteins and fats into the finite molecules to feed the brain and the nervous system. People who have depression have very poor bacteria in their colon, and E. coli is the predominant bacteria that does that.
E. coli, that's the one that's the new terrorist.
No, that's, they've been blaming E. coli for a long time.
Yeah.
But they've made this, you know, E. coli 157H7, which... Yeah. In my laboratory experiments, show that it's man-made. It's not natural.
Yeah. We just saw a big story on naturalnews.com about the same thing, and it's hard to imagine the way this thing evolved without being tampered with.
What do you mean, without being
tampered? In other words, in the lab somewhere, it's hard to imagine that it became so resistant to all of these different things naturally.
Well, it's not even a resistant to anything. It is just a monster. It's a Frankenstein. If you put a fractionating enzyme on that, it will splice in two instead of fractionating into five parts. That means it was spliced and man-made. Also, genetic properties show an alteration. So it's completely man-made. And I've never found an E. coli even in the fields, the tomato fields and the spinach fields here in California. And I got onto those properties at night, even though they were guarded, and took many samples. Not one showed any kind of this 157E7 E. coli that they talk about. And the only place that I've been able to find it and study it was in a university. And that was given to them by the CDC and the FDA.
So you're saying that all these different E. coli, quote, outbreaks, unquote, that we hear over every now and then a couple times a year, this is all fake stuff?
Yes. Well, what's the object here? They tried to outlaw manure last year as a fertilizer because of all the E. coli. Look at what's behind it. Monsanto and Dow and all the Gulf of Western, these chemical companies, they want you to use their chemical fertilizers. So if they can get you to believe, even though it is a complete fallacy and a fraud, that microbes cause disease in E. coli that is in all feces, not the 157H7. They're just using that as their leverage, their, you know, 9/11 Patriot bullcrap, you know, campaign, just like the Nazis used the Reichstag, you know, to take all the people's rights away. So if they get you to believe that fecal matter will cause epidemics and mass disease, then they will be able to outlaw without much resistance. Of course, they'll always have resistance for me. Without resistance, they will outlaw manure. So what is left to fertilize lands? Chemical fertilizer. And that's the whole plot. Yeah, conspiracy theory, yes, and it's true.
Well, And a lot of folks feel it's really an attack on the whole raw food idea as well.
It is, because if we are standing out there as evidence of incredible health, and they're talking about disease, you know, being created by this bacteria, it's a non sequitur.
Yeah. Here's an email from Mike in Marion, Alabama. I notice that many animals, dogs, cats, chickens, goats, seem to be avid consumers of water. My dogs have been fed nothing but raw animal parts since birth and have received no medications. At various times, I see them drinking large amounts of water. You seem to discourage the consumption of water for humans. Can you comment on what I observe in animals?
Well, there are very few animals that sit out in the wild. If you've got a domesticated animal, of course, you've isolated them on properties and lands where they get minimal water. You're feeding the animals a lot of dried grasses, and of course, they're going to need more water. If they're getting fresh grasses, they don't need much water.
Hmm.
Or in the winter, even though they're eating the dry grasses, they don't need much water. There's only three animals, basically, that eat a lot of water, and that's birds, because they eat so much dried grain, and the elephant and the camel. Elephant can drink 55 gallons at a time and go 6 months without drinking water, but they have a pouch for that. The camel, 25 gallons, and can go up to 6-7 weeks. Some have even gone as long as 3 months without drinking water and live on that 25 gallons. But humans, if they will eat, and other animals, if they eat, you know, fresh food that is rich with water, even meat is 55% water minimum. That's even if it's a little dried. Almost 70% water if it's fresh and there's no dehydration involved. That means time spent where, you know, the fluids out of the meat dissipate.
And there's those that argue that that kind of water from vegetables, meat, and milk is really a water that's somewhat structured by God or whatever nature that can get into the cells. And, of course,
well, it's the only water that can. It's the only water that's properly ionically bound.
Mm-hmm.
They make a electrical charge with, like, you know, these sport drinks like Gatorade, and that's not a natural electrical ionic bond, and there's no other nutrients involved in it. But when the human body does it, and any animal body does it with a raw whole food, all of the water is absorbable and utilizable, and doesn't, you know, it's full of other nutrients. It's full of the proteins, the vitamins, all vitamins, and every other nutrient on the planet. So when the water is carried to the cells, it's rich with nutrients. Just plain water is not. It's devoid of any nutrient, and the minerals that are available in it are rock, and we don't eat rock. Plants eat rock.
So what do you do to your water, the water that you drink?
I don't drink water.
You don't drink water?
Yeah. So, well, I may, let's say, in the last 2 months, I've had probably 16 ounces.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I may, every 2 weeks or so, have a half a cup or a whole cup, you know, maybe once a month. If I'm in the tropics, I may have up to, you know, a cup a week. And that's because the body still has some toxins in it that need the soluble factor that water is. Water is a solvent. It dissolves rock in the ground so plants can eat. Well, in the human body, especially as polluted as we are, we do need some solvents. So most people need about a half a cup of water a day. But they need rich, you know, nutrient-bound water primarily to strengthen and feed the system. And that, of course, in raw foods, you know, you have all of that water available. Milk is 86% water. Meats are 55-70% water. Fruits are 90-93% water. So there's water in absolutely everything, richly.
But if one were eating a mainly cooked diet, they would they need more water?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
that fractionates. However, even though they eat that other water, it will never be a nutrient-bound water that raw food carries.
Yeah, just not structured. James wants to know why raw meat is better than cooked meat. Very basic question. Great question.
Well, when you cook anything, you begin destroying, you know, depending upon the temperature, you begin destroying nutrients. That's in any food, not just meat. But we digest meat and handle meat the best in my experiments with humans, of course, and dogs and cats. When you cook anything about 100 above 105 degrees or meat above 105 degrees, you break down the enzymatic activity. Now, a lot of people think enzymes are alive. They are not alive, no more than virus is alive. They are protein structures to help tear down, build up, or reassemble nutrients. And they can be used in many ways, but they are not alive. But those are altered and cauterized at the beginning about 105 degrees. For some nutrients, it's even lower. Like for natural phosphorus, the cauterization process begins at 98 degrees. And by the time it hits 110, phosphorus is completely altered. That is when they go to check and see if something's been properly, so-called properly pasteurized, they look to the phosphorus to identify whether the temperature has reached at least 141 degrees. Other factors like vitamins will be destroyed at about 122 degrees, 126 absolutely altered and not able to be utilized properly. So all, and then the fats, they break down into lipid peroxides, the proteins break down into heterocyclic amines, and any kind of carbohydrates will be broken down into acrylamides. And those are just three of the toxins that are formed from cooking foods. And you've got 32 that have been identified from cooking foods. So the higher the temperature, the greater the byproduct toxins that are formed. And the three that I just named are all labeled as carcinogens.
Hmm. In general, do we need fats to digest protein?
Yes, absolutely.
So if you were going to do meat, then maybe some butter with that.
Correct. I always suggest that people have butter with meats.
Mm-hmm. Boy, more and more places now you can find real good raw grass-fed unsalted butter if you look around. It's out there.
Absolutely.
It's out there. Here is an email from Steve. Good morning, Patrick. I was diagnosed by my chiropractor with significant calcium retention in my hip, neck, back, and I have a stone in my bladder. What would you do to correct my body's calcium retention and reverse problems in my back, hip, and neck?
Well, the person, what's his name?
Steve.
Steve. Steve obviously has a lot of demineralization of the body. The proper mineralizations has lots of cauterized minerals throughout his system from cooking foods. Now, everybody doesn't have the same problems. Each body will get toxic in a different way from the same toxic substances. It depends upon the health of the individual. Steve just collects his minerals. He's not able to discharge his cauterized minerals, so they collect. They collect as stones and then grow into crystals in the bladder. Could be urinary or gallbladder. And in the kidneys, it could even happen in the liver, where these stones, and they're called stones because they're a collection of cauterized minerals, and they collect. To help break those down, it takes a very strict diet, not an easy diet, but I have the remedies for that in my book, which are, you know, like beet juice, raw apple cider vinegar, pineapple. There are different remedies in my book, We Want to Live, on how to get rid of stones and the mineralizations in the body.
Are you an advocate of doing some of these gallbladder liver flushes with the olive oil?
No, because they're very radical. They cause a massive amount of demineralization throughout the body, not just in the liver. I think it's always better to do things nurturingly throughout the system and let a body do it more gradually.
Mm-hmm. We're with Agnes von der Planitz, and a couple of books, We Want to Live and the Recipe for Living Without Disease, wewanttolive.com. And we're only halfway there, and we're having a good time. It's 1 minute after 10 o'clock Central Time, OneRadioNetwork.com. We broadcast live every morning between 9 and 11 Central Time. Open phone Friday, and next week, Daniel Vitalis will be here next Tuesday. Here's health motivator Daniel Vitalis and the benefits of using a far infrared sauna.
Sweating is absolutely going to be one of the most critical things discerning people take on so that they can not only stay healthy, but actually so we can continue to have children that are healthy. We're going to need to sweat. People have sweat all through history. Before the world was toxic, they used that for their health. Now that it's toxic, it's one of the only ways we're going to cleanse our body fat. Our body fat is where we store so much of the environmental pollution. Not just the radioactive elements, we're talking about PCBs, we're talking about plastics, we're talking about a host of pesticides and herbicides, we're talking about heavy metals. Getting this stuff out of our bodies, we're going to need to sweat it out.
And a fast, easy, and affordable way to sweat is with a portable, relax, far infrared sauna. See all the information. Order with promo code ONERADIO on OneRadioNetwork.com, a relaxed, portable, far infrared sauna on OneRadioNetwork.com. I'm with Al Carter. He's the world's foremost authority of rebound exercise. Al, one of my favorite things about rebounding for the last 15 years is I do it. I mean, it's not like something I think about. I do it because it's right there, right on my porch, and I just do it.
That's right.
Yeah, isn't that a wonderful thing? And I heard you say that you can do it whenever you're in the mood, not in the mood, or in the nude.
Yes, and anytime you want to rebound, if it's in your own private home, you can exercise anytime you want to. Recognizing you're going to build balance, coordination, rhythm, timing, dexterity, and kinesthetic awareness while building muscle, bulk, and strength.
How about the ladies listening and building up, like firming the bust line and firming the old buttocks? Does it work for that?
Yes, it will help all of those things. But one of the other things it'll do is it'll stimulate or strengthen the sphincter muscles.
Really
important. Those
ladies
who know what a sphincter muscle is knows what we're talking about.
Really important. Order yourself a rebounder right now. Front page, look at the display for the rebounders on OneRadioNetwork.com. Go through PayPal, very secure. Don't have to be a PayPal member. Any credit card, ship it via UPS in 3 days or so. It's all yours. Right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.